Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
Oh, yeah!
On 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.
What is this?
We're talking Notre Dame football, the NFL, the Cubs, and more.
Oh, yeah, I like this idea.
The Leprechaun Lunch.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
With Sean Stiers.
All you do is dribble.
I have to dribble. If I give it to you, you just shoot.
And Evan Sharpley.
You're a chucker. You chuck.
If it's happening in sports.
Bumble!
We're talking about it.
Flag on the play.
Now your hosts. Sean Stiers and former Irish quarterback. Evan Sharpley.
Glad to have you with us on this fine Friday. Sean and Sharpley and the Leprechaun Lunch. We are presented by Bud Light Seltzer, locally distributed by United Beverage Company of South Bend, urging you to stay safe as we get back on track. We're trying to get back on track. I guess Evan and I are getting back on track today. We were off for the 4th of July weekend last week. Glad to be back with you, my radio co-host today.
Yeah, how are you doing today? You doing all right?
I'm doing good. It's been a busy... How many hours has it been now? 12... I don't know how many hours it's been. It's been a busy last several 18, 20 hours.
Lots happening.
Yeah, lots happening. We wake up to thunderstorms. Has it been raining over where you are as well?
Oh, yeah. Lots of rain. Lots of thunder. Some lightning.
I guess they say we needed it, though. I know my grass was getting pretty brown once again, so it's kind of nice to have Mother Nature help out and kind of get some of this extra, all you know, with all the allergies and everything else, get some of that stuff out of the air a little bit. So, well, I tell you what, we've got a lot going on in today's show. Speaking about being busy, I was just about to tell you before we went on, so it's like, coming up on 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and I was just finishing up some of my preparations, getting ready for the show Darren Pritchett and I had planned for Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, and then I sit down, put my earbuds in, Darren talking about the Big Ten Conference, deciding that it is going to a conference-only football schedule for the upcoming fall, and it's like, whoa, where did that come from? Yeah, that's right. And so the next 3 hours after that were pretty much totally improvised by one Darren Pritchett and I. We had a lot going on, you know, went into a lot of that. We're going to get into a lot of that today as well. Desmond Howard, the former Heisman Trophy winner from Michigan, who's now part of ESPN's College Game Day. He did us a favor and sounded off about Notre Dame this morning, so we'll let you hear what Desmond Howard had to say coming up in our second segment of today's show. But you want to just jump right into this thing here, Evan?
Yeah, I mean, Sean, the dominoes are, I mean, they're starting to fall now. You know, it's we didn't have a lot of clarity. You know, everyone, I think, was hopeful when teams started coming back, you know, setting up different testing protocols. Notre Dame still is unbelievably, does not have any players right now that have COVID, which is still baffles me. And then you've got a number of other schools that, and I know there was a discussion about, you know, teams building herd immunity and just essentially letting their players get sick. That, you know, that's been a strange topic.
What do you think about that whole theory? I guess, I don't know if Boomer Esiason is the one who started it at one of the radio stations in New York, or if he just kind of jumped onto that from somebody else. But, and I know Darren and Vince talked about it when I was on vacation for a couple of days. What do you think about that whole theory?
I didn't know what it was initially. I mean, I think I kind of got the gist of it, and then I read a couple of pretty in-depth articles on what exactly teams are, you know, could be doing. You know, is it deemed a competitive advantage? So, you know, essentially what you're seeing at schools like Clemson and some schools in the SEC is, unlike Notre Dame, who has nobody with COVID, they have half their team or more have been tested positive for COVID. And what they're saying is, you know, you're not in the age bracket where you're likely to, you know, suffer tremendously. Now, you know, whether or not that's the case, that's part of a couple of the articles I read where it still is very risky.
Walk through this biohazard chamber and come out the other side. We'll see what happens. We really don't know. But I guess the thought is
with them being, you know, 18 to 22 on the team, if they get it, you know, hey, we'll support you and help you get better within the couple of weeks if that's, you know, the window. But then you've gotten it, so by the time games start playing, it's unlikely that you would get it again. So, you know, and we've talked about this a few times where there's going to really be, you know, I guess a COVID injury list. You know, if you get a couple of games into the season and you test positive, well, boom, you're out for 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
So that's part of this herd immunity discussion is you're trying to eliminate that by your entire team getting sick now.
You're saying, you're infected now. So when the season comes around, you won't have to worry about it. But the biggest problem with that is we're starting to hear cases of people who tested positive, had COVID back in March and April, and in June and early July have been reinfected again. So we've heard about, you know, the antibodies and people testing positive for the antibodies, but that means that at least in some people, we don't, this is all coming about kind of case by case as everything goes. At least for these specific people, the antibodies only lasted for maybe a couple of months and then they ended up having it again. So I don't know, who knows? Maybe that was the intention by some of these teams, but it doesn't sound like that's a very solid strategy at a lot of levels.
I'm interested too. I mean, I know right when players started coming back, there are several universities and programs that were having their players sign COVID waivers.
Yeah.
I mean, if that, you know, is indeed, and I don't know if those would legally would stand up. I don't know enough about that side of things to know if a COVID waiver, actually works legally. But I mean, if there are teams and they are indeed, I guess, loose with their policies, I still, you know, it still would be so mind blowing to me that a team would or a program would say, we're going to go all in on herd immunity. I think,
right.
I mean, just the risk involved in those conversations. I mean, I couldn't imagine sitting at a table and being a coach and be like, all right, here's what we're going to do. You know, no masks. We're not going to disinfect anything. You know, we're just going to let everybody get sick. Like that would be crazy to me.
Well, and just the number of people, the raw number of people that you have to infect essentially to be able to have this herd immunity that they're talking about.
Right. But and then the legal side of it too. I mean, if somebody gets sick and actually dies? I mean,
right.
You know, I mean, we're talking about that's, you know, that'd be, you know, I know it's weird that we're having these conversations, but that's kind of where we are right now.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I go back to the fact that there were all these arguments, negotiations, whatever you want to call them, the back and forth between Major League Baseball, the owners, and the players' union. And then now, just within the last few days, we're starting to hear some NFL players' union things going on because the owners want to do one thing with protect themselves. Obviously, the players' union doesn't like it. All these things in professional sports are collectively bargained. And there's been this effort in the last, really, it's been going on. I remember, I mean, it's been going on for almost 20 years now. The guy who's kind of in charge of this thing is a guy named, I believe it's Romogi Yuma. And he goes back, he was a player at UCLA, and he's been doing this. He's still trying to get a players union for college players, for essentially for these kind of things, to be able to protect the players from this kind of thing. Because you're talking about signing these waivers. I mean, That's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, who's advising the players, right?
Yeah, exactly. Who's looking out for them other than their families, you know? And in a lot of cases, these families, depending on what their background happens to be, I mean, they're relying on that scholarship, a lot of that different stuff that these players have. Okay, that's a different story, I guess. Let's jump back into what's just happened in less than the last 24 hours. The biggest news, obviously, the Big Ten Conference announced it's going to go to a conference-only season for all of their fall sports. And of course, football being the big one among, quote, unprecedented times during the pandemic. Here's a quote from the Big Ten Conference in the release that they issued yesterday. Quote, we are facing uncertain and unprecedented times in the health, safety, and wellness of our student athletes, coaches, game officials, and others associated with our sports programs and campuses remain our number one priority, the Big Ten said in a statement. By limiting competition to other Big Ten institutions, the conference will have the greatest flexibility to adjust its own operations throughout the season and make quick decisions in real time based on the most current evolving medical advice and the fluid nature of the pandemic. So let's start with that, Evan. The Big Ten is also considering front-loading its schedule so that division opponents would, you know, be sure to play each other first. There are reports that other conferences like the ACC and the Pac-12 could follow suit, but starting just with the Big Ten, what did you think when you heard this news?
Well, you know, the kind of the fallout from it, and it seemed like it was a surprise to some other conferences as well.
Exactly.
That they didn't see that or know that it was coming. What I think I've learned from this is that the NCAA certainly is not in control.
Absolutely not.
You know, it's by, you know, party lines, and I say party by conference. Mm-hmm. You know, the SEC, the Pac-12, the Big Ten, the ACC, you know, they're right now, they are the ones who are, you know, in their individual rooms making decisions. It's not at the NCAA level, which I think it continues for me to every day we creep closer to the start of the season. And I am less and less confident that there are going to be games played.
I agree.
You know, especially when you have individual conferences making calls, whether it's canceling, whether it's going to conference only, there really isn't a singular voice at the top that's, I think, making decisions for everybody. And maybe that's why, you know, conferences then are saying it's upon ourselves to make these decisions. But I think, you know, this is kind of one of the first dominoes. You have a Power Five, conference in the Big Ten. You know, I know the PAC's going to be meeting, you know, the ACC, there's been rumors too, that's probably what they're going to end up doing as well, as going conference games. Mm-hmm. And they would then take care of Notre Dame and schedule as many games as possible on an ACC schedule for them. Because I know there are question marks when this started, you know, blowing up yesterday, is who's going to play Notre Dame?
Right.
And I was like, I don't know, Jimtown High School, Concord High School, you know, St. Mary's, I don't know. Yeah, but, you know, win all your games if you're Notre Dame and crown yourselves the national champions. Why not? You know, that's kind of what we're living in right now. So I think that, you know, more is going to come out likely in the next, you know, probably 10 hours. I think other conferences are going to be having those the discussions, and then decisions will be made. And I would not be surprised if every conference moves to a conference-only season as what their plan A is if indeed games are played.
Dennis Dodd, to your point that you said, he said that he's heard from at least two Football Bowl Subdivision Conference commissioners who said they had no advance notice of the Big Ten's decision. And I know Paul Feinbaum was saying that these commissioners are meeting very regularly, like with Zoom conferences and stuff like that. So for the Big Ten to come out, and I understand them maybe sort of wanting to be first, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what the motivation for just being first would be. To say they were the trendsetter, I guess, I don't know. But I'm very surprised that there was no advance notice given, at least to the other four Power Five conference commissioners, that this was going to happen. But,
well, really, I mean, it forces the hand of other commissioners too, and other conferences.
Yeah.
Because if you have Big Ten teams on your schedule, you know, that changes scheduling. You know, even for Notre Dame, who was going to play Wisconsin at Lambeau Field, I mean, that was a big game on their schedule. You know, that's one that you circle. You know, that's one if you're trying to make your schedule more difficult in hopes of making it to the playoffs at the end of the year, you want that on your schedule. And, you know, poof, now it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, not to mention, you know, a number of other rivals that Notre Dame has, you know, are Big Ten related too. But, you know, that's one that's gone now. So it doesn't give other conferences and other teams that had Big Ten opponents on their schedule a lot of time to fill the void of who they're going to play to fill their schedule. It really forces their hands into a conference-only situation, and if they weren't planning that, now they're probably likely going to have to do that.
Yeah, there were, to your point, there were four ACC schools that were scheduled to play games against Big Ten schools this year. Pac-12 and Big 12 each had some games scheduled against Big Ten teams, and of course Notre Dame had the Wisconsin game, so we know for sure that is going to be canceled now. The game that was supposed to take place October 3rd against Wisconsin at Lambeau Field in Green Bay is now off the table, and Notre Dame released a statement from Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick after the Big Ten's announcement came out. Quote, "We look forward to playing Wisconsin at Soldier Field in 2021, and Barry Alvarez and I are committed to scheduling a game at Lambeau Field in the future," end quote. And again, that's from Jack Swarbrick. And of course, Barry Alvarez, former defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, longtime head coach at Wisconsin, who is now the athletic director there. So not shocking at all that this Notre Dame-Wisconsin game ends up being canceled at Lambeau Field with this news coming out. But this was a little bit more below the cut, I guess. There was a story that Heather Dinich at ESPN did with Jack Swarbrick yesterday as well that ended up kind of getting buried in all this. He did an interview, Swarbrick did, with ESPN, and he said that he thinks it is, quote, less likely, end quote, the college football season starts on time, citing growing concerns over the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. I'll read a full quote from the article from Jack Swarbrick, quote, "It has grown more pessimistic over the past 2 weeks, but I'm not going to point to say we shouldn't continue to plan for the potential to open on time. I just think it's less likely. We have to shift our allocations a little bit, a little more time on planning the alternatives and a little less time on planning the routine go forward," end quote. So we've got the Big Ten going from conference-only schedule for the season. Jack Swarbrick says it's less likely the college football season is going to start on time. And really, these two things, I think, Evan, kind of paired together, because I don't think it's just the Big Ten necessary. I mean, we'll find out exactly, especially once other conferences announce what they're going to do. I think that just by saying you're going to a conference-only schedule, so you're lopping off a couple of games, and now you've gone from 12 games to 10 games, at the very least, that gives these conferences another two-week buffer where they can push back to the middle of September as their start time rather than early September, late September even. And there's been this talk, I think we talked about it, about the conference championship weekend, which I believe would have been December 5th. Conferences leaving the following week in December 12th open in case they needed to push back so they could potentially push back even into that first week of December for their season. So that's at least 3 weeks of buffer time if you're going to go just with a 10-game conference schedule.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of reading the tea leaves here. And, I mean, it's, you know, any way you slice it, I think that, you know, it doesn't look promising. And I hate to say it. You know, and there were a lot of unknowns with teams coming back, and I think what programs
Come on,
have probably
Ned. <I'm>,
it must be the gloom and the rain today. I don't know.
Right.
but you know, I think here's a silver lining. I think it's going to be difficult for pro and college sports to pull off a season. I think it's more realistic for high school and local teams.
Really?
Although I just saw that Texas football announced today that it's very unlikely that they will have high school football,
yeah.
Which if they're not having football in Texas, I mean, good luck to the other, you know, the other states as well. I think that everyone was hopeful when, programs started bringing their players back, but there was still a lot of unknown, you know, they weren't sure. And as we discussed time and again on this show, is it probably was changing, you know, on a daily basis on what does it look like. And I think now having been back for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, programs are starting to understand that it would be very difficult. they're right now only dealing with just their teams. But then you add in, venues and traveling and the potential even of limited fans. And it's, it probably is a little scary because some programs are struggling right now, even with just, you know, team workouts.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, you know, moving forward is, you know, what's going to be, I guess, what's the plan? I think the plan's going to continue to change, but I mean, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but that's kind of where I'm sitting right now.
Well, I mean, we try to keep as positive a thought as we can, but there's only, all of this is out of our control. All we can do is talk about what's going on. And right now, as you said, and I think I said the same thing yesterday, the Big Ten's announcement that they're canceling non-conference games, going to conference only, is the first domino to fall. Because I think what happens is they weren't just going to in early July, cancel the entire season and say we're pushing to spring.
Right.
This was the first thing that had to happen. Okay, now we're canceling some games, but now by canceling those games, again, you have weeks that you've freed up over the course of the schedule where you can push back now.
But I know this had to do with in-person classes in the semester and shortening that, but what is pushing back the start date do? I mean, I thought the goal was to try to play games.
Just gives you more time.
as quick as possible, right? To try to miss out on what the normal flu time would be or flu season would be. I think I said it maybe a month ago. If you're going to push it, push it. I mean, but, it still sounds like, you know, the spring is not – most conferences, most programs, most ADs, they are not keen on pushing it to the spring. There's a proposal right now in the state of Michigan at the high school level of moving football to the spring and then moving baseball, softball,
to the fall.
Track to the fall,
just
where there's sports that are more socially distant and fewer fans, you know, most of the time at the high school level. That's a model that they're looking at too. So, you know, that really hasn't been – that really has not been discussed a lot, I don't think, at the college level. I guess it would be, and likely because there are not as many dual sport athletes where you'd have to pick between one sport or the other like you would in high school.
Yeah.
But if the thought process is to push it, you know, whether, we're waiting for the numbers to decrease, in wearing masks and socially distancing, or, you know, a vaccine coming at some point, it would make sense to push it as long as you can. But I don't know. I mean, there's also money involved in this, and when money drives it, I think they're doing their best to try to make a decision and really ride it out. So like you said, they weren't going to cancel it a month ago. They wanted a little more time, and I think that it does extend their runway a bit, but it's coming. Decisions are going to be coming soon.
Absolutely. And in the meantime, the Big Ten is still, as of right now, let me double check here something and we'll make sure that we haven't missed something while we've been talking before I say more about that, because this is a very fluid situation. Okay, so the Big Ten is still the only conference who has made this decision to go to a conference-only schedule, but there are reports the ACC and the Pac-12 are going to announce that they're going to play a conference-only schedule this fall. According to Sports Illustrated, Pat Forty, the SEC has an in-person meeting of its athletic directors scheduled for Monday. The report says a final decision on the fall calendar is not expected to come from that meeting Monday, but the meeting of the ADs will allow for the league to discuss their possible contingencies for the upcoming season and move closer to the actionable path that they will eventually take. But, I mean, obviously now, again, as far as Notre Dame goes, and we'll hit this real quick, and then we'll take a break, and then we've got some of the Desmond Howard stuff and some other stuff that we're going to get into. But as far as Notre Dame is concerned, just with what we have right now, we know that Wisconsin is off the table because the Big Ten is not going to play any non-conference games. And if the Pac-12 makes the same decision, then you definitely also have to replace Stanford and USC. So you've got October 3rd, October 10th, and then Thanksgiving weekend with the Big Ten team and the two Pac-12 teams. The ACC, according to reports, They would help Notre Dame, according to what we've seen with the reports regarding John Swofford. He has said that if his league, the ACC, is only playing conference games and Notre Dame were to be, you know, left out with these other conferences, that the ACC would help Notre Dame with as many games as it needs. The Irish already play 6 ACC schools this year, so you could see a pretty ACC-heavy schedule if it comes to it.
No, it would make sense. I mean, that's where Notre Dame is aligned in other sports, too. I mean,
right.
I thought it was funny, kind of the blowback on, number one, you know, this should mean that Notre Dame should join a conference, you know, with teams going to conference only. And number two, then, you know, pushback that the ACC would help. I mean, they already play, you know.
They're in every other sport except hockey and football.
Yeah, but it isn't like, you know, they play one ACC football team a year. I mean, they play a full slate even without being, within the conference.
Well, let's be honest. They're helping Duke, Wake Forest, North Carolina, you know, these ACC schools that are middle tier predominantly for years and years, they're helping them fill those football stadiums every time Notre Dame comes to town.
No doubt. So, I mean, I think it's a win-win. I mean, Swofford gets it, you know, and I think that if this is the way that it ends up going, I mean, that's how it should play out.
Yeah, exactly. He's Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Steyers. Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley. We're with you every Friday from noon to 1 here on Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we will delve more into this situation with the Big Ten being the first Power 5 school to announce it is playing conference-only games this fall, what it means to the Irish, and we'll also let you hear some reaction this morning from ESPN's Desmond Howard, the Michigan alum. We will let you hear what he had to say, some comments from another college football talker, Paul Feinbaum, as well. It's the Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley, presented by Bud Light Seltzer, locally distributed by United Beverage Company of South Bend, urging you to stay safe as we get back on track. We've got more coming up next when we continue on Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT. Sean and Sharpley and the Leprechaun Lunch continue on Leprechaun Lunch. I was just looking for what you were telling me about here, Evan. Leprechaun Lunch, Sean and Sharpley on Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT. You said you just saw something regarding Buster Posey.
Yeah, he's sitting out the 2020 season. And that was tweeted out by the San Francisco Giants.
The actual
official
team,
Twitter.
Huh?
So, okay. Yeah. So he's opting out of the 2020 season, and they look forward to having him back in 2021.
Yes, of course. Well, I would hope the team does.
Yeah, right.
All right. If we have time, we've got some baseball we'll touch on at the tail end of this show, but we've got so much going on, obviously, with college football, Notre Dame, and everything else. Here's a quick recap of where we are with everything. And, of course, everything is also subject to change. Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick tells ESPN it appears college football is headed toward a likely delayed start to the college football season due to the pandemic. The Big Ten has announced their 14 teams are going to play a conference-only schedule this fall. Sports Illustrated's Pat 40 says the Big Ten is going to play 10 games this season with a front-loaded schedule so they can play their division opponents. The move, of course, cancels the Notre Dame-Wisconsin football game that was set for Lambeau Field. Swarbrick says he and Wisconsin Athletic Director Barry Alvarez are going to work on a date for the matchup at Lambeau Field in the future. They are still planning to play next year at Soldier Field in Chicago. That would be Wisconsin's home game. Brett McMurphy of the stadium says the ACC is soon going to announce that its conference will play a conference-only schedule, though other reports say no announcement is imminent. John Swofford, the commissioner of the ACC, has been quoted as saying the conference will help Notre Dame fill games on their schedule if needed. The Irish are currently playing 6 ACC teams this season. The Athletic and Nicole Auerbach were the first to report the Pac-12 is likely going to announce a conference-only schedule this fall. That would, of course, cancel the Notre Dame games against Stanford and USC. And that's potentially three games that Notre Dame would need to fill on the schedule. So the whole ACC Notre Dame thing has a lot of people ticked off. Of course, Darren, what's Notre Dame going to do now? Why aren't they in a conference? This means they need to join a conference. Everything else. Longtime Notre Dame hater Desmond Howard, who is part of the College Game Day crew, was on ESPN this morning, and he was asked what he thinks about Notre Dame's situation. So here is what Desmond Howard had to say this morning on ESPN.
I tell you what, Ryan, I might not be the best guy to ask this question to, because I've always felt that Notre Dame was always given like this special pass, and you know, they just enjoyed this independence, and that they never had to join a conference. So now if this ends up being a situation that we do have a season, and under the guidelines that people are talking now, where it's just people are playing within their conference, and they're left out in the cold because of decisions that they made not to ever join a conference when they had the opportunity to join the ACC, then I think that's their problem, and then it's coming back to bite them in the butt. So I don't have a problem with a team, school that thought they are beyond joining a conference, and now because teams are playing within their conference, that they get left out in the cold.
Huh.
All right, Evan Sharpley, former Notre Dame quarterback who played. What do you think about that? What do you think about what Desmond Howard had to say?
Well, I mean, you know, Notre Dame has the right to not be in a conference. You know, I think that the people were skeptical right off the bat when the Big Ten decided to do this, because it was, oh no, you know, what's going to happen to Notre Dame if every conference does this? But that, you know, that was prior to, you know, the ACC saying that, you know, they're still going to allow Notre Dame or help Notre Dame out best they can. But, you know, there probably were some scenarios where that was going to be the case. You know, as Jack Swarbrick's probably looking around like, okay, who are we going to schedule now, you know, if it was to go that way. So I bet Desmond would love nothing more than for Notre Dame to get, you know, left out in the cold, as he said, if Notre Dame wasn't able to schedule other teams. But I don't get why there's so much animosity towards an independent. And as we've learned today, I mean, you know, the NCAA doesn't really have any control anyways. You know, the conference lines have that. But Notre Dame is, you know, they're able to kind of call their shots and dictate different things in scheduling and in TV and endorsement deals. So it's made sense. And you know, I've interviewed Jack Swarbrick on this before. When it doesn't make sense, you know, there were conversations then on we may have to join a conference, but I still don't think this is going to force Notre Dame's hand to do so. I still think that there'll be teams that'll be more than willing to play. I mean, if it's still, I mean, you look at some of the travel, you know, for teams that are in the Big Ten, I mean, there's still a decent amount of travel involved, you know, if you're trying to limit that.
I mean, that's a great point, because let's say the MAC decides that they're still going to play whatever games they can this fall. Not that Notre Dame wants to play a MAC-heavy schedule, but if they lose all these other non-conference games, there will be a list of MAC schools getting in line to have the chance to play Notre Dame. I mean, let's be honest. If it came to that, you know. As the Desmond Howard is himself, I'll start with this. Several years ago, I can't remember if it was when he was being inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame or if he was just in town to speak at the College Football Hall of Fame when the Hall of Fame was still in downtown South Bend. I had him on my show, and we had a good time with the fact that he doesn't like Notre Dame. Because I said, what's it going to take to get you to say, this is Desmond Howard, and I love Notre Dame? And he said, how much money you got? You know, we had a lot of fun with it. But he has also never made any bones of the fact that he's a Michigan man and he despises Notre Dame. He's doing what a politician does right now. He's playing to his base. He's using his platform on ESPN to totally play to his Michigan base. There's never been any love lost between Notre Dame and Michigan. It's only intensified in recent years, you know, like them playing the chicken dance at the Big House a few years ago when they beat Notre Dame after the whole thing with the series going away for a few years and all that stuff. I do find it very... he has a national platform on ESPN, and he sways a lot of people's opinions because he has that platform. And I know that a lot of people accuse ESPN of certain biases, and some of them are there, some of them are not. There's no mistaking that Desmond Howard's bias is there. Most of their analysts, I mean, all these guys who played in the NFL, they played at a college too, but they don't just come out and have no bones about the fact that they are totally biased for or against a school like this. So I do find it surprising that Desmond Howard is essentially allowed to kind of go off with his bias against Notre Dame sometimes.
That's okay. I mean, that's fine. Okay. I'm okay right. with it.
You're an alum. You're a Notre Dame alum.
It gives us something. It gives us stuff to talk about. Yeah, I mean, why not?
That. Completely agree with that.
I took a little more. I was a little more upset what Taj Boyd tweeted yesterday, saying just don't let Notre Dame schedule anybody. Oh, did you see that?
Taj Boyd, the former Clemson quarterback.
Yeah. He said don't. He went straight up and said we're not scheduling Notre Dame. Don't let them do it.
Well, again, I mean, Clemson is.
Which benefited. I guess is sort of like, you know.
Yeah. Well, Paul Feinbaum was in this same roundtable that ESPN was having when Desmond Howard was on. So after Desmond gave his thoughts, Paul Feinbaum gave his own about this Notre Dame situation in terms of their independence and a conference and the whole thing. So let's listen to what he had to say.
So, Paul, following that reasoning, what do you do if you're Notre Dame?
Well, what you do is what you always do. You call in favors, and Jack Swarbrick, who is one of the most influential people in college football, I'm sure has already called John Swofford. For those who don't follow sports very closely, Notre Dame is in the ACC in every sport yeah. but football because they have their own television contract.
Except
so
football,
they play
exactly.
six conference. They play six ACC games, so they'll just add a couple more. I mean, and everyone wants to play Notre Dame, and especially yeah. the most important partner here are the television networks. You want Notre Dame on your network.
Paul, I wonder if in this unique year they have problems with that. I know they have the connections. I know people want to play them, but we're in a very interesting year where we're talking about travel restrictions. We've got restrictions state to state. Does that complicate things yep. for Notre Dame?
It should, but it won't because Notre Dame's guaranteed a seat at the table no matter what table it is. So I think those things are being worked out right now. I don't think this is going to be a big mystery.
And the question about whether or not it complicates things, I mean, Notre Dame is going to have to travel typically farther than anyone for any of these games, regardless of, you know, unless they were in the Big Ten. But they're going to charter, and just the way they go about their travel, and most schools do these days, is you know, going to help them in terms of keeping their players safe. I mean, it's a lot more than a lot of these other schools can say right now in the ACC and otherwise. You've got two big, multiple dust-ups in the ACC with Clemson and North Carolina. You've got the thing at Ohio State and Notre Dame. Had one case reported of COVID when they came back and onto campus and got ready to train. They've tested again. They've got none, so they've tested twice, over 200 people in just one positive test. But, I mean, Evan, just going back to what they're talking about, and we talked about this before, Notre Dame does have an agreement with the ACC, even though they're not in the conference. As you said, they're playing ACC schools every year, and they were already scheduled to play Wake Forest, Duke, Clemson, Pittsburgh, Louisville, and Georgia Tech this year. So they might not be formally a member of the ACC, but their presence and them playing a lot of those teams, you know, Clemson is its own thing essentially in the ACC right now, but they're giving all those other ACC schools a lot of exposure, whether it is a home game on NBC or a road game in their stadiums when Notre Dame is playing them.
Yeah, I don't often agree with Paul Feinbaum, but right. I got to say, I mean, I think, you know, he's correct. You know, Notre Dame, yeah, whatever seat that is, I mean, Notre Dame's going to have a seat there. They're going to be able to, I think they're going to be able to schedule. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. I mean, I think we probably are still, you know, I think we get through this weekend and see what other conferences do, and we'll have a little more clarity on what Notre Dame's going to, you know, be able to do. Who knows? I mean, they may be able to, you know, schedule a few games against opponents maybe they wouldn't normally play that are, you know, maybe, you know, a bigger school. Who knows what that's going to, you know, what that's going to be. But I think Notre Dame will be just fine. You know, it's you know, Notre Dame's kind of like the Yankees. You either love them or you hate them, but you're always going to talk about them. And when this news broke about the Big Ten, I mean, outside of the Big Ten making that, you know, then everyone started pointing at Notre Dame because
easy fodder.
That's what you do. You just, yeah. I mean, you always talk about them, and you know, good, bad, or otherwise, that's the case. So I'm not surprised that, you know, that Notre Dame is the team of discussion, given what's going on, just because of their independence and because most people don't like Notre Dame.
They're not talking about BYU. BYU's independent, too. They're not talking about BYU right now. They're talking about Notre Dame.
That's so. Right.
Okay, let me go through a few questions here before we wrap up this segment. I've seen this from several fans, so I'll pose it to you. What do you think is the benefit to playing conference-only games for the Big Ten or any other conference?
The benefit? I mean, I think conferences want to have as much control as possible. You know, whether it's setting up specific guidelines and protocols that they're having to stick with. You know, whether it's testing, whether it's fans or no fans, I got to think that that's part of the discussion.
Yeah.
That they're able to have a little more, they're able to have the say in what it's going to look like. Outside of that, I mean, you brought up possibly pushing the season out a little bit more. I think that, you know, for the most part, conferences and how they're aligned are more regional, which you can have the travel discussion. That's not always the case, not with every conference, but for the most part, you know, it's
Maryland and Rutgers.
Right. Yeah. Well, do teams in the Big Ten really need to play those two teams? I don't know.
Exactly.
Maybe not. But, you know, for the most part, it is regional. So if you're trying to limit travel, you know, that's, I think, part of the discussion too. But for me, I think it's oversight, you know, from whoever's sitting in those rooms making those decisions. Is now you're not having to deal with, if you're playing, you know, four out of conference games, and dealing with whatever the protocols or lack thereof that they, you know, that they may perceive outside of their own conference.
Yeah, and this goes back to what we've talked about with the NCAA. They issued a non-statement that isn't even worth reading on this show. The NCAA did, but to your point about the conferences, by eliminating teams from other conferences, or in Notre Dame's case, an independent that you would play, if all you're playing is your conference teams, as a conference, you can issue your own protocols, and then you have to enforce, obviously, that your teams are following those protocols. But you can do that, and you essentially, even though you're not under one bubble, you kind of create some sense of a bubble to try to keep your own players safe, to see if you can get through the season. If you're playing a MAC school, Notre Dame, whoever it happens to be, all those schools are going to be subject to their own protocols. So there's greater risk, I think, by doing that. And I also still think that as kind of the back end of that, by eliminating these non-conference games, you're also freeing up some weeks to give yourself some more flexibility if things do happen during the season. Okay. Do you think the season will actually start? And if so, will it start on time?
No. No.
Okay, there were two questions there.
I know. Okay, so do you think the season will actually start? No.
Okay. So that means it's not starting on time by definition.
Yes, correct. If it starts, I'll answer it this way then. If it starts, I don't think it starts on time. So we'll go that way. We'll say if I'm looking at glass half full and it does start, I think that it'll be pushed.
Okay. I agree with you. I think that if it does start, that it's going to be pushed back. I'll just ask you this. Assuming that it is actually played, how many games do you think Notre Dame ends up playing this season?
I mean, I'm still going to go in that 10 to 12 range. You know, I don't think scheduling games is going to be – I really don't think it's going to be a problem. I don't. I would say they would probably mirror – you know what? If everyone goes to an all conference schedule, and they're playing 10 games, you know, plus you know, your conference championship, I would say Notre Dame probably mirrors that. So 10, 11 games, I'd say. But I'd probably say, you know, 10, yeah, and maybe an additional one somewhere.
I think I'm in that same range too, because if the ACC is agreeable to helping Notre Dame out with more games, and obviously if they're going to go to a conference only, that's going to free up weeks for them as well. The challenge could be finding some open weeks and things like that, some common open weeks where they have, or they may just have to scrap everything and just move everything all over again if they're doing that. Final thought for this segment, spring schedule. This is, I think, if the fall schedule ends up getting canceled, your top pro, your top con of playing in the spring?
Time, I guess. But there's still a lot of unknowns. I mean, it doesn't guarantee that things are going to be better. But I think what it does is it does give more time. The con, then you do run the risk if you move it, say, within the next month or two and things aren't better. I mean, you could lose an entire season.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a double-edged sword, right? I mean, I think my pro and my con were both, you could easily, I mean, they both really were cons, I guess, you know, because we don't know if it's any better, but it does extend the runway a little bit more, in the hopes that it does, there are improvements, but there's no guarantee that that's the case.
Completely agree. You buy yourself more time, but there's zero guarantee that anything is going to be any difference. You buy more time hoping that maybe there's a vaccine by the end of the year, by the end of January, something like that. I think that is the biggest pro. The con, just kind of what you laid out there, and also just how the NFL gets into the mix. How many players might just say, I'm not going to play because I'm getting ready for the draft, because I don't see the NFL moving their draft.
I think you'd see a lot of top tier players sit out then. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense for them to risk getting sick or hurt when they're that close to payday at the next level.
He's Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Steyer's Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley. We'll take our final time out and then back with a little bit of baseball. Trevor Bauer giving us something more. We'll hit that when we return. We're presented by Bud Light Seltzer, locally distributed by United Beverage Company of South Bend, urging you to stay safe as we get back on track. We're back right after this on Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT. Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley, winding things down on Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT, presented by Bud Light Seltzer, locally distributed by United Beverage Company of South Bend, urging you to stay safe as we get back on track. Don't forget Budweiser's weekday sports beat coming your way today and every afternoon from 4 until 7 o'clock here on Sports Radio 96.1. Darren Pritchett and I will bring you the latest on what's going on in the world of college football, Notre Dame sports, and everything else. This afternoon, we had this news about the Big Ten dropped on us right before the show started yesterday, and that's pretty much what we fired on for the next 3 hours after that. Keith Kinder, Mishawaka football coach, is also going to join us at 4:30 today. The football team at Mishawaka got back to work this week, so we'll kind of get an update on how things went for them as they started their voluntary workouts. How about a little fun good news to wrap us up today from baseball? Some great back and forth between Trevor Bauer and his former Cleveland teammate Jose Ramirez this week. Ramirez told the media he hit a ball 500 feet off Bauer back in Arizona this spring, which prompted Bauer to tweet, The balls he hits off me this season won't total 500 feet. But sure, we can roll with his take. There was a couple laugh emojis, and he tagged Ramirez on it as well. And of course, the Reds and Indians are going to play. They'll play four games this season, two in Cincinnati, two in Cleveland in early August. So there's a good chance that Bauer faces Ramirez. First, Evan, what do you think of Trevor Bauer's tweet?
I mean, he's just, you know, he's a walking, you know, punchline. You know, he's got yes. He's got a new hot take every single day, I think. It's
content all the time.
Have you been, the other one, too, that I checked on is he's gone back and forth with Kurt Schilling a little bit, too.
Oh, my goodness. That was a mess.
That one was hilarious as well. But, I mean, he's, you know, he's obviously very outspoken. You know, he's using his platform. And, you know, if anything, I mean, I think people pay attention to it. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe there aren't a few more players that do that, you know, to beef up some more interest in baseball. But I mean, it's all fun and games. I just think it's funny.
Yeah, I do, too. I think it's, and obviously they're, you know, they're in on the joke together. It's not like they're taking shots at each other for no reason. He tagged Jose Ramirez on the whole thing as well. That thing was Schilling, man. And it's, you know, again, it's like the old man, get off my yard is, I mean, that's essentially what Kurt Schilling has become. And going at Bauer about stats and how good he is and this and that. And then Bauer threw some advanced analytics stuff on him. It took Schilling like a week to come back with a response to it.
Yeah, he asked if he retired from Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me ask you this, because you were teammates, of course, at Notre Dame on the baseball team with Jeff Samardzija, Jeff Manship, David Phelps, Kyle Wyland, all guys who made it to the big leagues as pitchers. Did you ever take any of those guys deep during a scrimmage?
No, because I don't think I ever faced them in a scrimmage. The one would be David Phelps. This is a funny story, too. It was our last away trip. It would have been maybe freshman year, because Paul Menary was still the head coach.
Uh-huh.
And we had a mini series, and Paul had us do a competition of pitchers versus hitters, and it would determine who would travel.
Okay.
So I hit a laser off of Phelps that went off the wall, and that solidified me riding with the team going to Villanova and playing, and David had to stay back home in South Bend.
Oh, man. Hey. So not a bomb, but a laser.
It was a laser.
That's a good one.
And David's still getting paid in the big leagues. So
that's
good
right.
For him.
That's right. So you've still got that. And that's something Paul liked to do, I know, is create those competitions and stuff like that.
Yeah, he loved doing that.
That's a good story. Love it. All right. He's Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Steyers, winding things down on the Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley. We are presented by Bud Light Seltzer, locally distributed by United Beverage Company of South Bend, urging you to stay safe as we get back on track. I will talk to you next week, Evan.
Sounds good. Have a good day.
All right, you too. For Evan Sharpley and our studio engineer, Jess Hollis, I'm Sean Steyers, Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley, Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT South Bend.